Yes, well, thank you for that introduction, and no pressure to make a great presentation now, of course. But yes, I'm going to present our paper on the effectiveness of anti-phishing training for children. First, a bit of motivation. So you might ask yourself, why would we care about phishing and children? Because, well, they don't have bank accounts, especially the young children yet. So why is this important? Well, children are very active online. Well, probably most of you know that. They have their own email accounts. They have their own social media account. So that, yeah, those accounts can be taken over and they can see photos or whatever they are sharing. And maybe, well, if a child clicks on a phishing mail and gets some malware installed on a computer, that might be the same computer that the parents use. So children are a nice attack factor, you might imagine. So with that as a motivation, the goal of our research was to teach children to recognize phishing emails and not become victimized. Now, of course, teaching them is one thing, but we also wanted to measure the effectiveness of our training. So we needed some kind of experiment for that. And another thing that we wanted to measure is how well do they remember the training over time. Well, before I go into the results first, a bit more about the methods that we used. Where do you get children to participate in a study? Well, the first thing that we figured was, well, go to school. In the Netherlands, everybody, all the children have to go to school. They have to attend physically at the school. So that's why we approached schools. And six of them, they were very interested, and they were like, well, cool that you're doing this. They were primary schools, and we were targeting children between the ages of 9 and 12. And that was our main group. Of course, there were a few of the age of 8 and a few of 13, but primarily it was 9 to 12. And we had over 350 children participating in our study on those six schools. Now, we had classes participating, generally as an entire class. We wanted to make two kind of conditions out of them. So we put classes in either the intervention condition or in a control condition. When a class was in the intervention condition, they would get a training. And in the control condition, obviously, they would not get a training. They would only be tested for their knowledge about phishing. So our training was a group level, a class level. So everybody in the class either got a training or everybody did not get a training. So it was a class-based how we did our experiment. We had a second independent variable that we wanted to measure, as I already discussed. It's the performance over time. So we measured them at 0 weeks, and directly after the training. And then we did it again after 2 weeks and 4 weeks. And to explain that in a bit more detail, I made a little diagram. So we have week 0, we have week 2, and week 4. For the intervention groups, they would get a training at week 0, followed by a test. And then they would get another test after 2 weeks. You know what? We had a second condition for intervention groups where they would get, again, a training and a test at week 0, but then the retest at week 4. And the control groups, they would be the same, except that they did not get any training. So a control group with 2 weeks and a control group that got tested again after 4 weeks. And this allowed us to compare the control groups again with the corresponding intervention groups, so measure the effect of our training. Now, we had a few more variables that we wanted to measure. First of all, the sex of the child, so if it's a boy or a girl. The age, because we wanted to know whether age is actually important in phishing recognition. And then we had three other variables that we measured, and those were more online exposure based. So first of all, whether the child had their own email address, whether they have their own Facebook account, and whether they have received a phishing email in the past. And for that last one, we had three options. So they could say, yes, I've received it, no, I have not received anything, or I have no idea whether I received a phishing email or not. Well, having those variables and everything defined, we went onto the training. So we developed a 40-minute training to give at the primary schools. It was not only focused on phishing, but it was more general, the cybersecurity. So we also discussed hacking, we discussed cyberbullying, and we discussed identity theft in general. Our training, we based on storytelling, because it's very hard to keep the attention of children for 40 minutes on something that might be dull. It's just training them how to do something good. So we got a lot of stories of on the news, like a 12-year-old hacker hacking the school website, and we discussed that with them, and we also had a lot of interaction. So we also asked them to tell stories, and that was actually one of the surprising things that worked very well. So there were a lot of children sharing stories, and they were discussing amongst each other. So sometimes we were just standing in front of the class and not even participating in any of the discussion that was going on. And especially for the ages 9 to 12, I was very surprised that it actually worked very well. And then regarding phishing itself, so the part of phishing that we discussed, we taught them how to find a URL in a phishing email, how to look at it, so what is the domain and stuff like that. How to look for spelling mistakes, which actually their teacher was very happy about, because it's, spelling is always a good thing to improve. So they were also looking for spelling mistakes. Urgency cues, so you have to now respond within 20 hours, because otherwise the world will go down. And the sender email address to look at that as well. And for phishing websites, we discussed the URL again, and then whether it was encrypted or not, so whether it used HTTPS. Now, we had, of course, the training, but we also wanted to test it, so we developed tests. A test had 10 questions, and each question was worth 1 point if they answered it correctly, and 0 points if they did not answer it correctly. So they could get between 0 and 10 points on our test. A test consisted of 7 emails that they had to say what it was, and 3 websites. And the test had 5 phishing questions and 5 non-phishing questions. And that's to see the difference between how they recognize everything, phishing or non-phishing, legitimate ones. Now, to go to the results. Horizontally, it's the number of weeks. So 0 directly after the training, or not for the control group, then after 2 weeks and 4 weeks. And vertical is the score between 0 and 10. Now, you see that after 0 weeks, it is the, the training worked, so the intervention group was significantly better than the control group, and that stayed over time. So over time, there was the significant difference between the two remained. And actually, the intervention group had a significant increase also over time. So that was very interesting, interesting to see. So in that sense, the training worked. But yeah, the overall score, of course, is one thing, but yeah, we also had the phishing and the non-phishing. So we wanted to distinguish those two and see, whether they improved on both of those. And then it got very interesting, because if you look at the phishing, the children recognizing phishing emails, you see that at week 0, directly after the training, the intervention group is much better, significantly better. But over time, they actually, after 4 weeks, they return to pre-intervention levels. So after 4 weeks, actually, they score exactly like the control group. So that's, in a way, it's sad. On the other hand, the training worked, it's just it doesn't last that long. When you compare this to the legitimate emails, so the non-phishing part, then you see the opposite. So you see that directly following the training, the control group and the intervention group score the same. There's no difference. But over time, they get much better in recognizing legitimate emails in the training group, in the intervention group. That's very interesting. We think this has to do with some kind of self-learning effect, in a sense that we triggered their interest in how to look at emails, and yeah, they have their own email account, so then they look at emails in practice, and then they start learning over time more about how to read emails. Bit of like kind of how to learning how to ride a bike. You have to learn it in the beginning, and then you just need to practice, and then eventually you'll be good in it, hopefully. Not everybody, of course. And if you look just at the week 0 data of the legitimate and the phishing part, you see that in phishing, so the intervention group was much better, and the legitimate part, there's no statistical difference. So this means the training actually worked as we intended it. They didn't become completely paranoid because of what we said. So that's very good. They didn't have a worse score at the legitimate emails. Now, going a bit into the other variables as well, whether it's a boy or a girl, so the sex of the child had no significant influence on the overall score. The age did. The older the child was, the better it scored on the phishing test. And regarding the online exposure variables, you see that if we asked how many of you have your own email address, 80% of the 9 to 12-year-olds have their own email address. And if they had their own email address, they scored significantly better on the test compared to the children that did not have their own email address. Well, for Facebook, we see something similar, although not everybody of them had a Facebook account. Only 27% had one. But when they did, they scored significantly better than the ones that did not have their own Facebook account. Now, whether they received phishing or not, 9% said, yes, I've received phishing. About a third said, no, I've not received any phishing email. And over half said, I have no idea whether I received a phishing email. But it didn't really matter for the overall score anyway. Now then, a small thing about ethics, because yeah, children and studies is always very interesting. We had a lot of discussion with the schools, with the directors of the schools and with the teachers on how to properly do this. We, of course, had our IRB, the ethical committee, had to approve everything. We made an informed consent that we distributed to all the parents of the classes that the school wanted to participate. And the parents or caretakers of the child had to sign the informed consent beforehand before the child could participate. So most of them actually did. Some children were not allowed to participate, either explicitly or because we didn't get the informed consent form, and they were asked to leave the class and go to another class for the duration of our experiment. Afterwards, we did a debriefing with the children. So after the last contact moment that we saw them in the class, we debriefed them. And we also gave them a letter explaining everything again and asked them to give it to their parents and also urged them that if they had any questions, to please discuss it at home and contact us if they had any more questions. And finally, we also gave a training to the control group in the end after the study was finished so that all the children in the end would have the cybersecurity training and everybody was happy and nobody disappointed for being in the control group. Now, in conclusion, we only had a short-term effect of our training. We had quite a large decay when it comes to recognizing phishing emails. However, the legitimate emails were very well recognized after the training by the intervention group. So basically, we taught them how to read legitimate emails properly and reply to that. So the marketing people, I don't know if there's any here, but they would be very happy with this study, I think. The children were super enthusiastic. I already mentioned it briefly before, that they shared stories on themselves. In every single class, there was at least one child giving a story of a relative that became a phishing victim. So we didn't have to give any of those stories because they were all doing it themselves. Somebody had an uncle being a victim or a father or something like that. So then they were all telling each other like how bad it was and what happened and what you should do, what you shouldn't do. So the only thing we actually had to do was just steer it a bit in the right direction to make sure that, well, the things that they recognized, the things they should look out for, that actually was the correct ones. So that actually helped a lot. So I think that was very interesting. And also, the children are very active online. So you see 80% had their own their own email address. A quarter had their own Facebook account. And we didn't even check for Snapchat or whatever is all very hip right now in the children. So they're very active online. So we think that more interest in the cybersecurity training for children would be very good for future reasons. And with that, I'd like to thank you for the attention. And if you have any questions, I'm open to answering them.
Thanks very much. I'm really pleased, as somebody who has a doctorate in education, to see people addressing this particular topic. I was curious, did you look at the control group and see whether there was also an effect of whether they were better at identifying phishing emails if they had an email address? Or were the kids with an email address or a Facebook account, even if they hadn't been trained, more able to identify a phishing email?
No, we didn't look at that, but that would be very interesting indeed.
Very interesting.
I'll do that.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the paper. Do you have any information about the kids going home and teaching their parents about phishing?
Yes, we had quite a few indications because coincidentally some of the colleagues at the university in a different department had children that actually were in the classes that we gave the training for. And so they contacted us and like, oh, what are you doing? Cool, tell us more about it. But they also said that following the training, that evening at the dinner table, there was quite a lot of discussion within the family on how, on the phishing part, on how to recognize and everything like that. So in that sense, yes, we have anecdotal evidence that yes, they did it.
A beneficial contagion. Thank you.
Hi, Tara Whalen from Google. Thank you very much for this. I was curious if you had advice for other people who might be considering doing studies with children. You talked, for example, about the attention span and how effective storytelling was. Did you discover anything while you were doing your experiments that you would say we would not do that again, or that worked really well for people who might be trying to do similar things to what you did?
Don't call it an experiment, because the word experiment and child in the same sentence is triggers people in very bad ways. So call it a cybersecurity training that has an opportunity to teach them more about the future or something like that. So that would be the biggest advice that I have for that, yeah.
Hi. For the control group, how did you describe phishing so that the students were able to take part in the test?
Yeah, so we didn't. We didn't describe phishing. In the test itself, we also didn't specifically ask them, is this phishing or is this not? We asked them, what would you do? So would you click on this link and enter your data, or would you not do this and go away? So those were the two options. So we didn't want to introduce phishing, because then you need to teach them about it, and that's not what we wanted to do. So it was more like, what would you do in this situation? Okay. What we asked.
Thank you.
How do you go about constructing a fishing expedition for a child? Because clearly what it's going to gather their interest is different from how we fish an adult, right? Because you said they don't have bank accounts, they don't have this, they don't have that. So how did you determine what to fish and how to interact with them in that way? And what do their fishing emails look like?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. What would it look like? We were also with that, because I'm also collecting fishing emails like real-life phishing emails, and I couldn't find anything that was specifically targeted to children yet. So what we did is we took emails from TV programs, Nickelodeon, things like that, from websites that children used, game websites that they used a lot, that we know that they used a lot, and we made phishing emails around that. So we constructed the phishing emails ourselves based on what we think, what I would do as an attacker, basically. So just, yeah. I hope that answers your question.